He's never been able to go somewhere walking. And so we see his condition. And this man heard Paul speaking. Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And the man leaped and walked. I like the Passion Version says, "You, in the name of our Lord Jesus, stand up on your feet." Now when all the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." They called Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was the main speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of the city, brought an oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles and Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran among the multitude, crying out, saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and all things that are in them." The word useless is a great and powerful Greek word. It means fruitless, empty, futile, unreal, unproductive, lacking substance, worthless, ineffectual, void of results. See, if your belief system can't change your life, then come to the kingdom because ours can. "Who in bygone generations," he's preaching now, "allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And in these sayings, they could scarcely refrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Then the same day, later in the afternoon, Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. Having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And he preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you for giving us these eternal words, your mind, your heart, your truth. Anoint your servant, your word, and your people. Have your way today. Holy Spirit, capture us. Speak to us. Change us. Show the devil who's boss. And be glorified in what we do in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. It's quite a day when you're worshipped as a god in the morning and stoned as a criminal in the afternoon. Those extremes of life are what I'm going to talk about. But let's begin with first point, Paul's preaching. And he's watching someone. The longer he preached, the more the man's faith began to blossom. It was measurable. It was quantifiable. He's watching. That guy's believing. That guy's coming alive. And all Paul did was respond by the Holy Spirit to the impulse of the beautiful thing that was happening in that man at that moment. He said, "Man, you can get up now. Get up. Walk. Stand up." And the man did. He'd never walked, but he walked that day. He'd never stood, but he stood that day. He had never known the joys of leaping, but he was leaping. He was leaping like LeBron James last night, a couple nights ago. God is ready to heal the parts of your life that have never worked before. I want to say to everyone here, all of us have, in this journey of life, we have crippling moments and paralyzed conditions that come because of pain, trauma, disappointments, because of inferior upbringing, whatever it is. And then all of us also have parts of our life that are kind of undiscovered. And the Holy Spirit wants to come into those unopened rooms and open the door and said, this has always been in you. You've never accessed it. And in the name of Jesus, come into your destiny. Awaken to the gift that's in you. There are things that you've never done and thought you'd never do that God is awakening faith in you to believe that you can do them. This is your season to do what you've never done. In the name of Jesus, go where you've never gone. This is your season to stand up in every area of your life where you've been knocked down. Just a couple of simple things. Your faith can heal you. Your faith can change your world. It wasn't just that God had appointed a special miraculous. People think that as we describe how miracles work, there often comes an unneeded mystical quality to it. Well, you just never know when God will do a miracle. Yeah, you can know. When people have faith, either the person receiving, the person giving. Faith is always in the equation of the miraculous. Bold actions of faith almost always precede a miraculous outcome. And this man got healed. Well, what happened next was kind of shocking, and the disciples weren't really ready for it. And I get to my first point today. You have to walk it off. Don't let your life be poisoned by the presence of pridefulness. As they said to these guys, you must be gods, you must be deity, you must be Zeus and Hermes. And they wanted to sacrifice to them. They wanted to elevate them. And the disciples, they knew intuitively. They had the knowledge of how to walk with God. And when you walk with God, he never shares his glory. Listen, if you'll keep giving God the glory, he'll keep giving you the victory. Micah 6:8 says, he's shown you, O man, what is good, what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Humility is not when you think less of yourself. It's just when you think of yourself less. It's the ability to reflect glory because you're secure in who you are. I don't have to rob something from God to make me feel better about my own self. Psalm 115 says, not unto us, O God, not unto us, but unto your name be the glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Success is always a test. And when success comes, it tests whether you're capable of reflecting properly the glory to God at the mountaintops of life. I always listen to people, athletes or actors or business people, high-achieving people, when they climb some mountain of achievement and are recognized by mankind, their peers or others, receiving awards. When they're at the mountaintop of their life, who do they give the glory to? Do they say, well, I just did this because, listen, if you're really smart, God made you that way. You can't be prideful about being smart because that's stupid. If God gave you a great intellect, that came from God. People that are smart ought to be the first people to say, well, God gave me this brain, glory to God. If you're good looking, which is a very subjective thing, okay? So but if people think you're good looking and they're not blind, who can you thank but Jesus for that? And maybe your plastic surgeon, but who can you thank but Jesus for that? If you're athletic, I can run or block or dunk or whatever, hit the wall. Come on, man. Who gave you that coordination, that physical prowess? It's God. And so whenever we interfere with the glory of God, we're robbing from God what is not ours. That's what pride is. Pride is to rob glory from God. And so, not unto us. And so, if we train ourselves, you see, part of the reason, especially in the Western world, that sometimes the miraculous quality of the kingdom isn't fully revealed in our behaviors is God's nervous about the trust factor, because so many people, they raise one person from the dead. How I raised the dead? You with me? Me, 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 God, me, 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 God, me, 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 little God. It's important at the high points of life, you don't drink the poison of pride. There's a great story in the Bible in Acts chapter 12, and it's the story of King Herod. And King Herod comes into a political union with a group of people. And the Bible says this, and Herod had been angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They came to him with one accord. Having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food from the king's country. So on that day, a set day, an important day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people cried out, shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Immediately, the angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. He was eaten by worms, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Interesting, so interesting. Here is a secular dude, a king, a Roman appointee, and he has the gift of public speaking. He has the gift of speaking so beautifully, so poetically, so dynamically that everyone says, it's a God, not a man. It's a God, not a man. And he instead of reflecting that, deflecting that, he says, yeah, you're right. And the moment he drank in the poison of pridefulness, worms ate his body. Yeah, the Bible says this all through the Bible, that before destruction, pride comes. Pride comes, and then destruction. But before honor comes humility. James says it like this: humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you in due time. See, the lower you can go, the higher God can take you. Stay low, my friend. It doesn't mean stay. Humility is not kind of a broken understanding of your identity. Humility is the ability to handle success and not drink the Kool-Aid, to be able to be a person of consequence, but still be a person of honor to God. Thank God. I just want to give God the glory. I want to give God the glory. I was proud of my son. Proud of my son, Tim, when he was just 18 years old, a senior in high school, a local TV channel came and followed them. They shadowed him for a day, maybe 2 days. And they were going to play the championship game, and they hadn't lost. They hadn't lost all year. And they won that game by 30 points still. It wasn't even close. But they shadowed my son. He's the captain of the team, and so they're shadowing him. And so he's got his Bible out. And for the whole day, he points them to Jesus. And so they're like, they wanted other stuff. They wanted teenage stuff, but all they got was Jesus stuff. And I was proud of him, but that may have affected how it was edited and how it was aired. But it just showing them, man, you can achieve amazing things in the kingdom. See, God wants you to be a high-achieving, highly productive history maker and world shaker, but God wants you to never think you've done that on your own. Just keep giving God the glory. How easy is that? How easy? I do it every day. God listens to your church. Anything good in my life, you've done it. It's so easy to give God the glory. With an honest reflection about your real life, it's so easy. Because without him, we couldn't do anything. Success is our life's greatest test. Why? Well, because it gives us the chance to show us what's really in us if we're hungry for the kinds of things that the world tries to offer us. Jesus said in Matthew 23, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but he that humbles himself will be exalted. I just want to encourage you, when pride tries to come to you, just walk it off. See, it's okay, because you, when I travel especially, I've been kind of surprised at the depth of honor that they give me in these places, but it never affects me. Why? I don't drink it. See, people's praise is like chewing gum. It's okay to taste it and chew it for a while, but if you swallow it, it'll make you sick. So if you allow people to make you, you've empowered people to break you. If you allow people's praise to define who you are, then people's criticism will destroy who you are. God wants to make you people-proof, living for an audience of one. So when things go great and there's some great victories and breakthroughs coming your way, just make sure, give him the glory. Amen. Make sure to give God the glory, and he'll keep giving you the victory. Turn to someone and say, walk it off, man. Just say, walk it off. Okay. Second point from the same chapter. Walk it off. Shake off the devil's attempt to cripple your walk through adversity, injustice, and criticism. So, same day. It's just hard to capture the full emotional range of this day when you're worshipped as a god in the morning and killed as a criminal in the afternoon. That's a portrait of the mountains and the valleys of life. So some zealot, he wasn't killed by pagans, by devil worshipers, by Satanists. He wasn't killed by atheists. He was killed by devout religious people who had made a covenant not to eat until they killed him. And they found him, and they stoned him and left him in a pile of stones. But when people throw the stones of criticism at you, in that very place, build an altar to God there and watch God do something good in your life. And so God wants to help us walk it off when people are critical of us. And so we are now in this moment, in a supercharged, vulnerable moment as a society for a bunch of reasons. People feel now kind of unfeathered to let their innermost feelings out. And often it is vulgar and violent, emotionally violent and verbally toxic, people just spewing out all kinds of things. And social media has given people a platform to be nasty. So people say things on social media they'd never say to your face. And so we have this going on. And so we have to learn how to take a licking and keep on ticking, how to survive things when they don't turn out as good as we had hoped. Paul said, the greatest Christian, you know, perhaps in Christian history, said this about his own life. He said, here's the secret. I don't count myself to have apprehended. I stay hungry. I'm still in the journey, okay? But one thing I do, everybody say one thing. So here's the greatest Christian giving us his secret sauce for success. One thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me and reaching for the things that are before, I press for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he said this, I've learned to keep short books. I don't have a volume of books called All the People I Hate, All the Mistakes I've Made. I get through, I cycle through things quickly. Well, that helps when you're a worshiper. The quicker we worship, the quicker our hearts heal. That's always a secret. Jesus said to the disciples one day, he said, boys, I know you think it's going to be all roses and champagne, well, that's roses and chocolates. But sometimes the ministry can be brutally discouraging. And when you go to a city and they don't like what you have to say and reject you or chase you out, when you come out of that city, shake off from your sandals the dust of that city. Because I don't want you carrying the disappointment of that city into the opportunity of the next city. I want you to learn to let it go, to walk it off. See, the problem is, if we don't let God say, oh, God, send me the right one. Come on, all you single people, stay with me. Oh, Jesus, I'm ready for the right one. Are you really ready? Have you unloaded the baggage from the wrong one? Have you let God heal you from the last one? Because if you haven't, then you're going to treat the next person like the last person, and you're going to ruin your opportunity. And you don't want to miss what God has for you today because you're carrying the misery of your yesterday. You don't want the pain of your past poisoning the opportunity of your present and future. So we have to forget things. The Lord taught me how to forget from the book of Genesis, chapter 41, when Joseph named his son Manasseh, his firstborn son, which means to forget. And Joseph said, for God has made me forget all the pain of my family. And so the Lord said to me 20 years ago, Mike, Michael, if you forgive the people that hurt you, I'll anoint you to forget the pain they've caused you. Let me say that again. When we forgive people, God makes us forget the pain they've caused us. The way we escape our past is to forgive our way out. We forgive our way out of our history, and we believe our way into our destiny. And so God helps us to walk it off. He gets stoned, and next thing you have a prayer meeting. They dust him off, and they walk. Come on, buddy, let's go. Before you know it, he's preaching again. He's anointing leaders. He's building churches. He's fulfilling his destiny because he walked it off. For you and I in our journey, for you and I in our everyday life, all of us have so many chances to be paralyzed by the pain of this journey, but our Jesus is stronger than people's stones, criticism, accusation. When people leave you, Jesus stays. When people give up on you, Jesus never will. Don't carry the pain and disappointment of the last season into your next season. How many times has it looked like you were down and out, but your loving God raised you back up again? It's not over till God says it's over. God says it's not over. There's a great term, I like it, called cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is when something happens that is so contrary to the belief systems of your mind, it blows your mind. Cognitive dissonance primarily refers to bad things happening to good people. So Paul in the morning had prayed for a man and seen a man that had never walked. The reward he got was he had the tear off his clothes and barely refrained people from worshiping him as a god. But the reward he got was to be killed by the same people. The zealot Jews were able to convince the crowd that Paul was somehow a murderous criminal, and they now participated in the murderous act of stoning. And so that's a tough day, because we don't expect bad things to happen after we do good things. Come on, if you've never been to the point in life where something really bad happened after something really good, you're just not 5 years old yet. Because life brings those opportunities, kind of unwanted opportunities, but life brings them. And sometimes they can be personally devastating, destructive. They can be emotionally burdensome to us. And so we have to conquer these things. We have to walk it off. When people throw stones against you, build an altar to God there. Walk it off when people criticize you. You with me? Walk it off. When people respond harshly to me on social media, I never respond harshly back to them. Of course, I block them, but I never respond harshly back to them. I won't participate in the vulgarities of the society. You can't pull me down. You can't make me like you. I behave like you. Walk it off when you face the cruelty of life's injustice. If you're not careful, you'll define yourself as a lifelong victim because of a trauma in your story. You with me? I wrote a whole book about how to get out of that mess, that weave, that web of deception, because all of us have been through things, but if we're not careful, we'll justify today's bad behavior by yesterday's heartache. Well, I know I'm nasty, but I got a reason. Those nasty people. Well, you got to. Jesus can take the pain out of you, disarm your anger, diffuse your frustrations and bitterness. Walk it off when things don't go the way you expected them to go. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, unfulfilled, unmet expectations is one of the most disappointing things in life. See, when I started pastoring here 33 years ago, I promise you, the way things happened is not the way I imagined them. Victory, 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 victory. Here's my plan, God. Victory today. Victory tomorrow. Victory Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, God. Victory Friday, Saturday. Victory, 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 victory. God says, well, you can have a bunch of victories. Oh, there's going to be a couple valleys in between. I didn't know about valleys. Victory.
Valley.
Victory.
Valley.
Our job is to not stay. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of evil, we will fear no evil. So our job is to walk it off. Walk it off. If we don't, we get stuck in the wrong place. We get stuck in the wrong chapters. We get stuck and paralyzed by our journey. And God never intended that to happen. Walk it off when something bad happens to you, even though you're doing good. Man, it's tough. Pastor, I just gave my best tithe and everything fell apart. I know it's horrible. Walk it off. Tithe next week. Don't let the devil change your behavior by his attack. Keep worshiping God for being good. When you can worship God for being good while you're still enduring something bad, you give the devil two black eyes. You overcome. That's how we overcome. We don't let the devil steal our worship. We don't let the devil steal our God is good. That's how we overcome. Walk it off when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. It was 20 years ago. I was in East Valley visiting a church member. I think someone had died or something. We were in their family. And a guy from the church ran up to the window and said, Pastor, Pastor. I said, what? So I got the window down, ready to leave. He said, I just want you to know that, you know, this big church over here, really big church, that the pastor spoke about you Sunday and said horrible things about you personally. Now, just to let you know, I'm friends with that guy today because I forgave him. But here's what he said. Then he quoted. He couldn't wait to tell me the bad things. It's just unbelievable. So I said, excuse me. So his head's leaning to the door. I said, excuse me. I opened the door. So the guy's freaking out for a couple reasons. One of them was I weighed 100 pounds more than I do right now, and I'm peering down at him. I could take you out, Jack. And then I closed the car door, and I started jumping up and down saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And I did that for about 2 or 3 minutes, and the man said, what are you doing? I said, Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when men speak evil of you, for great is your reward in heaven. I promise you that dude will never forget that moment because he thought I was crazy. But he didn't know. I wasn't going to take 3 weeks to get over it. I wasn't going to let 3 days pass. I wasn't going to let 3 hours pass. I wouldn't let 3 minutes pass before I got over it. I got over it that moment by worshiping God and celebrating the goodness of God. Walk it off when Satan tries to make you doubt the goodness of God. I love this one because people, agnostics or atheists or philosophers or humanists or backsliders or religious people, they'll always try to seduce you. Well, if God is good, how come babies are starving in Bangladesh? And how come there's so many wars? And how come the world's a mess? And how come Aunt Debbie died? And how come, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I said, you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, God didn't make this mess. This is not the same world he made. We made this mess. Sin made this mess. It's like coming home and you've only been gone a couple of hours. You come home and your dog's completely torn up the couch. And they're stuffing all over the living room. And the dog, you come home, you look at the room, you look at the dog, and the dog looks up at you like, what? I didn't do nothing. I'm innocent. We look up and go, well, what did we do? So if the devil can wedge in your heart, make you doubt God's goodness, it makes you suspect of his intentions and makes you withdraw your faith from his promise and makes you unsure. Well, I don't know, you know. I don't know if God really going to heal me. I don't know, you know. Well, God wants you to know. Amen. With surety. Walk it off when your family or friends disappoint, hurt, or betray you. The worst kinds of hurt always come from the people closest to us. The people closest to us always give us the chance to be more like Jesus. Y'all with me? You gotta walk it off, baby. You gotta walk it off when heartache comes and disappointment, criticism, or even cruelty comes through family stuff, because you don't want their actions crippling your destiny. God, I forgive them. I bless them. Sometimes you gotta construct healthy boundaries, whatever it takes, but you have to make sure that you don't become the person you don't wanna be. And blame it on your family. See, when someone sits in my office, they say, well, you know, I got a reason why I'm like this. Well, you're never going to get better until you take responsibility. You can't keep blaming people. You can blame people for hurting you, but you can't keep blaming people for keeping you hurt. That's what victims do. Jesus says, you're not victims, you're conquerors. You're more than conquerors. You're overcomers. That's who we are in Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. I want to pray those three things. Number one, I declare that this is your season to walk. This is your season when parts of your life that have been non-functioning, maybe even undiscovered, when parts of your life that have been paralyzed or crippled by whatever. This man was born that way. Some of you have parts of your life you've never uncovered yet, gifts and graces and callings and beautiful functions from God that have been locked up in a room that God wants to access. And I say to you in Christ's name, it's your season to rise, to stand and walk, to walk in a new way, walk in new life, walk in new faith, new vision, new hope, new strength, that God's going to help you do what you've never done and go where you've never gone. No matter what it is in your story, I pray just like that man, that faith arises in your heart for a new season with different outcomes, that your life can change. Every single part of your life can change. Your health, your life, your relationships, your thinking, your self-image, your identity, your marriage, your whatever. There's nothing God can't change. And he awakens faith to invite us to change. God, I thank you. Let's just stop there. If you say, Pastor, I feel like that's me. I feel like God's calling me to a new season, that God's calling me like this man to do what I've not been able to do, to walk where I've been crippled, to enter a season that I've been unable to enjoy or experience. I'm ready for that unraveling of my burdens. I'm ready for the resurrection of my soul and life. That's you. You just hold up your hand. I'm going to pray for you because today's your day. In fact, just keep your hand raised. Thank you for your honesty, your beautiful honesty. It's such a joy to pastor a church that's unafraid of transparency. God, thank you for these beautiful people. And so I'm going to pray a prayer for you. At the end of the prayer, I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, arise. When I do, I want you to stand to your feet at the end of that prayer. Father, I declare that this is the moment. You're inviting these, your precious, beloved sons and daughters into the depth of a new destiny, into the fullness of unfinished business, into the unraveling of things they've been bound by, into the freedom Christ died to give them. By the power of your name, Jesus, I thank you. This is their day, a new season, a new strength, a new vision, a new hope, a new heart, a new life. That newness comes and awakens inside of us what we've been missing. And I declare over you, precious brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Now, come on, just stand your feet and give God a shout of praise. Come on. Come on, do it. Jesus!